Lecture 5. So we're in water chemistry. We've set the scene by covering the terminology that we need to describe the structure of the ocean, structure of the lake, and looked at what goes on if we go down through a soil profile. We now turn to some of the actual chemical parameters that are in the water. We've looked at terms like DO, BOD, etc. this morning. We now go to pH, which really is the big master variable in water chemistry. I briefly mentioned that it's pH and redox that are really the key things, so we spend a bit of effort in both those topics. So a natural water body then will have a pH typically from about 5 through to 9, 5.5 more normally through to 9. The exogenic cycle treats the Earth's surface then as a very large acid-based titration where we're taking the rocks, which are basic in character, and dissolving them using a weak acid, which is carbonic acid. That helps transport these materials through to the sediments. Those sediments then are processed through diagenesis, turned back into rocks. Rocks are finally uplifted back to the surface, and the whole lot goes around again. So a very large acid-based titration with a bit of compaction involved in it. So our water is made acid by carbon dioxide dissolving to form carbonic acid. The pH and the electrochemical parameter, which we're now going to introduce, called PE. Now, we remember the P scale was similar to the minus log base 10 of something. So this was minus log base 10 of the H plus concentration. This now becomes minus log base 10, and it's going to be looking at the concentration of electrons that are in solution. So that's what PE is about, and we spend some time looking at that. So the combination of the pH and some information on PE will direct where we end up transforming one mineral into the next. In the soils, the main things that are important for fertility are going to be the organic matter content, the humic matter, fluid matter, and the clay mineral content. Now we have got primary clay minerals which form directly from magma. We have got secondary clay minerals, it's much like the distinction between primary and secondary aerosols. These ones form by chemical processing of a primary mineral. So we can control which particular mineral we get by what the soil pH and the PE conditions are. So alteration is simply taking one mineral and turning it into another. pH controls biological activity. I indicated this morning that the dissolved oxygen concentration is a primary parameter controlling what particular fish can be floating around in a water body. But the same thing happens with pH. If you move outside of this 5.5 bound, then the membranes of the organism are not designed to handle particularly low pHs or particularly high pHs. These guys as well, these feed back and influence the pH of the water body. So the amount of respiration going on in the water body is able to change the pH of the water. We know from first year that the pH of rain and the pH of snow is a major determinant in pollution. So where we've got elevated levels of sulfur dioxide pollution, we end up with the transformation of this through to sulfuric acid via SO3, and the resultant sulfuric acid, and if it's in proximity to a city, some nitric acid, forms acid rain and snow, which then can produce extremely low pHs in lakes and streams. And as a result of this, you mobilise aluminium from the mineral structures, and we're going to look at a few basic mineral structures down the track. And aluminium is a common constituent then of a lot of aluminosilicate materials. Aluminium 3 plus is really quite toxic to fish. It causes damage to gill structure, for instance. And as a result of that, things like the hatchling success rate can approach zero due to